Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworksIreland.ie/movetogas.
Gas 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. I did ask, was there anybody out there who didn't go to see the Pope, rather than people who did go to see the Pope? Ruth, who says she's age 61, says didn't go to see the Pope in 1979. I couldn't see the point. Dublin was lovely that day, empty, so walking around was a treat, and I have not regretted it, says Ruth. That's true, the centre of Dublin. Yeah, on the day he was in the Phoenix Park, must have been absolutely empty. The day the Pope was in the park, I watched a guy in shorts roller skate up an empty Grafton Street, which was not pedestrianised then. That's how long ago it was. Surreal sight in those days, with the only other people crowded around a TV shop window close to where McDonald's is today, says Ray. Joan says, I was 14 at the time and my entire family went with except me. My mum was on the Dublin City Council at the time and my dad was doing security on the day with the Gardaí. I didn't want to go and never regretted that decision, says Joan. Someone else says, I was a good Protestant. My good Protestant mother sat inside, glued to the telly for the whole visit. My good Protestant dad, my brother and I walked on the white lines down the middle of our usually really busy Dublin road. Place was empty. Wow, that must be very surreal. When the Pope was in Galway, I went for a ride on my horse as an act of defiance against the Catholic Church. How enlightened was I? On your horse? Where did you go riding on your horse? Did you ride on your horse like around Ballybrit? And you go, who is that stranger on that horse? That would have been cool. I don't know about tigers, but the last night I met a cougar and she definitely had her claws out. Do you get what they're doing? That is a bit of a joke. Very good. I met a real cheetah once in South Africa. They had a thing where you could go and pet a cheetah and you're supposed to approach them from behind because if you come from behind, they don't perceive you as a threat because they're just the fastest thing out there. And so you could go up to this cheetah and kind of stroke them and the cheetah would go, you know, would kind of purr. But it was still a very scary experience. And then after I did it, about 6 months later, I remember reading that the same cheetah clawed a load of people in exactly that place. So I don't really know if they do that anymore. Anyway, Esther and Jean are with us once again from Movies and Booze. Good afternoon.
Hello.
To you both.
Hello. Okay. Could you not have just said, no, I won't go and meet the cheetah. Thanks very much.
I kind of had to. It was a telly thing. So I had to go and
pretend.
You had to
look all brave and stuff.
Pretend to be brave, which, you know, not my strong suit. So, yes, seeing we're on the subject. Esther, Pope, did you?
No, none of our family did. And what age would I have been? I can't remember. I do remember, but I would have been quite young, I think. I would say no, mammy, young family of 11 at home. I'd say the logistics just proved to be too much for her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would have been hiring a bus type scenario.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it then,
were you like the only people on your street or you know?
I can't remember that, actually. I can't remember.
Yeah,
because he went somewhere else as well, didn't he? Did he go to Limerick or
Kerry?
He
went
or
a few
somewhere?
Places. He was in Limerick. Yeah. He was in Galway. You know, he was in Maynooth, of course. But I think the big ones were Dublin and Galway, the main events. And Jean?
I was actually on an island in Georgian Bay in Ontario. So I missed it all. But my father, who was an avowed atheist, sailed to Holyhead rather than be in the same country as the Pope. So he just got out of the place.
Just waited until he was gone and then came back again.
Yeah, basically.
Whoa. You want to really be a dedicated atheist who wants to spend a few days in Holyhead.
Well, no, I think it was the sailing was the whole thing. They went over for the crack. You know.
And since we've seen you last, you've been,
I've been in China yeah.
Which is not one's first thought if you think about wine.
Oh, but listen, it's amazing. I mean, I was in a place called Ningxia, which is in the middle of China, Mongolia's to the north and the Gobi Desert's to the east. And it's literally a little oasis in the middle of China. And the yellow river is there, so it's plenty of water. But I mean, 10 years ago, the place was a desert. Now they have 35 hectares of vines and they're making absolutely fantastic wines. I mean, really seriously brilliant wines. Mm. And funny enough, we met, here's one for you, Manchester. There's a co-production, an Australian-China co-production. They're going to make a film about an Australian winemaker who falls in love with a Chinese winemaker who's a girl, obviously, and they have a love story. But we actually met the real deal. We met this French guy who he has a winery called Silver Heights, and he married, his wife was a Chinese girl who went to Bordeaux to learn how to make wine, and they're now married and they've got a 13-year-old. But his wines were absolutely incredible. He got 91 Parker points. His Chardonnay was one of the best I've tasted in I don't know how long. And it's all Bordeaux blend. It's Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc. It was really just completely not what I expected. The kids are all like kids anywhere. They all wear Western clothes and spend their time with their face down into their phones, right? But they build, I mean, this city didn't exist practically 10 years ago. They built this huge highway in 2 years. It's the Chinese are builders. And, Beijing was absolutely incredible, you know. I mean, we saw one building that looked like Darth Vader's helmet, you know. And you were just looking and going, God, can you imagine the brief for that, you know. But it's huge. Everything's big. Everything. It's very, very modern. It was completely not what I expected. And I loved it. The things of food. A week of Chinese food, occasionally I'd go out and have a Chinese meal, but not a week of it was a bit much for me. But other than that, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and of course in China they don't call it Chinese food. No. They just call it food.
They just call it food.
The vines, like, where did they get the vines from? Was this kind of a standing start?
They started from nothing, and they basically planted, they bought the rootstock and they bought the vines. The problem is that it goes down to minus 20 in the winter, so they have to, in wintertime, they have to cover all the vines over, like with earth, to stop them dying.
Wow.
So, but part of the thing is they want to try and bring employment to the area, and everything is flowers everywhere, trees everywhere, and you know, the wine industry is a very labour intensive industry, and especially if you've got to cover over all these 35,000 hectares of vines every winter, you're going to need manual labour to do this. So and everything's hand harvested. And we went to one place which is the largest organic vineyard in the world, and another place where they're going to build all these chateaux and charge rich Chinese 10 million a pop, and they can have their own chateau and their own vines. And I mean, it's like Disneyland on wine, you know.
But it's amazing the way that they will decide, right, this is going to be wine country, and then 10 years later, it is.
And it is. Yeah. And it was beautiful. And it was completely not what I expected. Very, very interesting experience. And the wine's very good. They're not interested in the export market because they've got a huge market of their own.
Well, a billion people is a pretty big potential
market. The baby boomers do not drink, right? But the millennials do. And they don't really have a drinking culture. But the other thing, karaoke. I made a Hames of Hotel California. I had to, right?
Isn't that the point of karaoke?
Politically, you know, our hosts asked us to sing, and it was the only song I knew the words of, so I gave it a go. It wasn't one of my better moments, I wouldn't say.
Wait, did you have, did you have like person from the Ministry of Killing
You?
We
had lots of them. So
watching you like a hawk. So what wines are we going to be drinking today, Jane?
We're going back to Europe.
Yeah.
We're going to Italy and France. We've got a Gavi from Piedmonte from northern Italy, which will be at a festival called Spit, which I'll tell you a little bit more about later on, and a Gigondas, which is from the southern Rome, from next door to Châteauneuf-du-Pape, and that's going to be on sale in the Lidl French Wine Sale, which started actually last week.
Right, of course, and that next door thing is quite important, as Tomas was talking about that last week as well. Our hashtag, by the way, is Flirty Movies. There's millions of them already. Grab them by the octopussy. So it is one example of that. Esther, what are two movies today? Reese Witherspoon is back doing rom-com stuff.
Yeah, after being so good in Big Little Lies, and here she's. Yeah, I don't know what she's doing here. It's. I'm always suspicious when I see a title of a film that's something like Home Again.
Mm.
You think if they sat, you know, some of the top creative people sat around a table in Hollywood and said, what will we call this film? And they come up with Home Again. It suggests you're going to be seeing something very bland and generic indeed. And it is the case, unfortunately. So Reese Witherspoon, I've always been a fan. I know some people don't like her. I've liked her ever since I saw her in one of Alexander Payne's first films, Election, which she played this kind of perky but very conniving high school student who was campaigning to be elected and just the most annoying person you could ever be, spend your school days with. She was super. And I've always liked her, and I think she brings heart to films. And but I don't want to see her in this material anymore. I'd like to see her. She's 41 now, and I'd like to see her just doing something a bit different, you know.
Is she limited as an actress though? Because basically, it's perky and she can do perky and nice, perky and conniving, perky and perky.
She's very good at perky, which is why people keep asking her to do it. But when she's not perky, she can be a very good actress. Like, she was in a movie called Wild a few years ago. She, I think she might have gotten an Oscar nomination for it. Where she was playing this very damaged character who kind of turned to, her marriage broke up, and she turned to drug addiction following the death of her mother. And it was a really interesting film, and she was really good in it, and it was a true life character, as I say, based on the real person's memoir. And she kind of tried to turn her life around by taking to the American plains and just going hiking and finding herself. And it sounds awful, doesn't it? It sounds so Eat, Pray, Love, doesn't it?
Yes.
But it wasn't. It was really good, and there was a kind of a grit to it, and life was hard for her, and I thought she was really super in it, I have to say. I'd like to see her more. And I mean, it's not that it wasn't that much of a stretch for her, but it was a more dramatic role, and I think they're well within her grasp.
Yeah. Okay, so goodbye Christopher Robin, our own Donald Gleeson.
Donald, I'd say, annoying all of the posh aristocratic actors of England by doing posh aristocratic English better than
which
any
he does
of them.
Very well, though.
He's very good at it. And this is based on the story of A. A. Milne, of course, who wrote those wonderful Winnie the Pooh stories, and it was kind of it's kind of how he was inspired to write these stories. He was going through a period of
writer's
block.
Hasn't that been told before in a movie?
It did feel a bit familiar. I have to say this. It passes the time very well. It's fine. It's not a bad movie by any stretch. But I was never really surprised by it, I have to say. Now, it is kept afloat though by some really good performances, including young Will Tilston, dimple-faced Will Tilston, who plays his son, who is not only the cutest little thing I've ever seen on screen, but also a very fine young actor, has to be said, and carries the more emotional, manipulative emotional scenes in the movie. So he's very good in it.
Ah, right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's sweet. It is. Yeah. It's a film you can bring your mammy to.
Someone says, I went to Rome on holiday when the Pope came here. So that kind of thus balancing things out slightly. Sinead, who's listening to us in Mayo, says, don't forget the Pope went to Knock too. That's true. I was 6 years old. It was the biggest day ever in Ballyhonus. Biggest day so far in Ballyhonus, Sinead. We're 5 miles away and the traffic passing through the town was mainly buses and it went on for hours. And she says, P.S. Did the Mayo woman, Annette, have her baby yet? She did. She had it. Was it last weekend or was it the weekend after? It was 2 weekends ago, the weekend of the... and she'd only... she's only a couple of weeks to go before she gave birth, so she was going on her maternity leave. She was 38 weeks, but they were going to the football final, and they went to the football final, bitter disappointment, and then next thing you know, she's in labour. So she produced little Sadie, who hopefully will also improve the fortunes of the Mayo women's football team as well in due course. Anyway, back in a couple of minutes. 1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Our hashtag today on Twitter is Flirty Movies. Captain America, the Tinder Soldier, and many other examples there. There's actually gazillions of them today. I'll read out some later on. Esther and Jean are with us for Movies and Booze. Someone wants to know, I'll be travelling soon from Budapest to Szeged and then on to some other place I can't pronounce and Brasov in Romania. Just wondering if you have any wine recommendations for anywhere in and around those places, please.
Well, I visited Romania about 2 years ago and there's an amazing winery in Timișoara, Cremel Recas, which the wines are actually available here. And it's run by an English guy who actually revolutionized Romanian wine. It's probably one of the biggest, most commercial wineries that there are. And they've so many different brands. But we went to a couple of wine fairs and there are superb wines we made. But I mean, Romania was always known for its Pinot Noir, right? It, like New Zealand and South Africa, outside of Burgundy, was one of the few places where Pinot Noir grew really, really well. So keep an eye out for Romanian Pinot Noir, because in the hands of a good producer, it's actually really, really good. It's the suck it and see principle. You know, there are some absolutely fantastic wines being made in Romania. And, you know, it's just a question of, you know, going going into a restaurant and, you know, asking for a recommendation. They grow a lot of French grapes, and that goes back historically to the turn of the last century, when the Romanian king sort of kind of believed very much that French wine grapes were the future and got them to grub up all the indigenous grapes and plant French grapes because he thought they'd be much more sophisticated. And there's always been strong links between France and Romania historically, going back hundreds of years. So you'll find an awful lot of French grape varieties that have been there for at least 100 years. So, you know, you should, you know, your Merlots, your Chardonnays, your Sauvignons, your Pinot Noir. So it should be fairly easy to navigate.
Ian asks, can you ask about a good Tempranillo red wine? I've only started drinking red wine and had this type before.
Well, for me, I was in Ribera del Duero earlier on this year, and Tempranillo in Spain goes by so many different pseudonyms. And in Ribera del Duero, they call it Tintopage. Tempranillo from Ribera is absolutely outstanding. And in fact, I was at an O'Brien's tasting yesterday, and I tasted one that they do. Of course, I can't remember the name of it now. It's written down in my notebook somewhere. And from Ribera, and it was absolutely standout. So if it's one of their new wines on their list. But Ribera del Duero, they make wines in a style that are not typically Spanish, in that they don't use the American oak and get that soft, creamy vanilla flavour. They age them in French barriques to get a tighter, more kind of French style of wine. But for me, one of the best regions for very good quality Tempranillo is Ribera del Duero. So go into any wine shop and see what they have from there.
Mm, okay. I went to see Judi Dench in Victoria and Abdul. I think the casting could not have been better. Really superb. I adore Judi Dench, and the chemistry between her and Ali Fazal looks so genuine. Says the texter.
Yeah, people are liking that film. A lot of I thought it was fine. I gave it 3 stars. Some critics were a bit more dismissive of it, but actually people who are going to see it are coming back with very positive word on it. It usually followed by, I really enjoyed that film, followed quickly by,
but
I love Judi Dench. No, so if you're a Judi,
yes, yeah.
If you're a Judi, no, but no. If you're a Judi Dench fan, I think you're going to lap it up. And she does elevate the material, I think, when it flounders a little as well.
I was in Frascati this summer and visited a small vineyard. The wine they make is called De Santis. It's organic wines. Do you know anyone in Ireland that sells this?
I'm
guessing the answer is no.
No, but yeah. But Frascati and Orvieto are the sort of, they were the very popular Italian wine regions. Wine is made from what is in France known as Uni Blanc, right? But in, I've forgotten the name of the grape in Italian. Oh, God. But anyway, Frascati and Suave make wines that are quite neutral. The Italians don't like their white wines to have an awful lot of flavour or character. So they ferment them at a very low temperature. And so they strip out all the alcohol, flavour, colour. So you've got quite a neutral white wine that will go with everything. There was a time Frascati and Orvieto were the only two white wines from Italy that anybody knew. But now, obviously, anything made from Pinot Grigio has taken over, and Suave up in the north has become a much more popular region. And, you know, Italian white wine now is all about the great Pinot Grigio. But those are two of the more traditional white wine regions, and they're down in the sort of middle of the country.
Mm. I finally sat down to watch Lobster with Colin Farrell on Netflix. This is hands down my favourite movie I've seen this year, potentially ever. It was incredible. Does Esther know much about the director? Must be a very peculiar man, says Jules.
He is. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, actually. I adored The Lobster. As you know, I laughed a lot. I don't know what it says about me, but I found it very, very funny. And it's directed by a guy called Yorgos Lanthimos, he's a Greek director. And as he says himself, he came over here to start making films because there isn't a movie scene in Greece. So he decided to travel after making a couple of films, including Atlas and Dogtooth, which was a really, really strange and peculiar and brilliant film. But yesterday I was fortunate enough to get an early look at, he's working with Irish people again. He's made a film called The Killing of a Sacred Deer,
mm-hmm.
with Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell again. But it is young Barry Keoghan, out of Love Hate, who comes in and steals the show. And it is a different animal entirely from The Lobster, I have to say. Very, very dark and very strange. And not, it won't be for everyone, but I absolutely loved it.
Was it shot in Ireland?
It wasn't. It was shot in Cincinnati. It's
okay, all right. So the fact there's the two States. Irish actors in it is just coincidental.
Well, it's a funny thing, you know, about how do we define an Irish film? It's an Irish production company, Ed Guiney for Element Pictures.
Ah, right, okay, right,
and,
of course.
And it is funded by the Irish Film Board. So if it ends up being kind of looming large come award season, we'll be claiming it, you know, even though it's shot in
then
America.
Then again, probably... GCSE Element as an example, but probably anybody as an any film company as an example, it's probably very difficult to say that a film originates from anywhere, because probably for that they probably got something from the Irish Film Board, but various investors from various parts of the world who are just investing money.
And often when it comes to film awards, they're defined by the production company, the nationality of the production company.
Yeah.
So when people go crazy every year because they see Michael Fassbender getting nominated for Best British Actor, and that's the kind of stuff that usually sets Twitter on fire. Generally, the reasoning behind that is that it's a British production. You'll find it's Channel 4 Films or one of those who've put the money in. So that's why the title is there, you know.
Orla says, I can't decide if I like Margot Robbie or not. She really annoyed me in About Time with Donald Gleeson. She was great in The Wolf of Wall Street, and then she was just terrible in Tarzan. What does Esther say? Well, she wasn't in About Time. That's Rachel McAdams she's mixing her up with. So.
Yeah. Or was she another character? I can't remember, to be honest, there.
Claire says she was the summer love interest at the start.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That was small.
Okay, the one who couldn't play,
it?
The one, the tennis player one. Yeah, the one who played tennis.
I think we have yet to see the best of Margot Robbie. That's what I'm hoping. I think when she stops working for filmmakers who are in love with her gorgeous looks, I think she's really talented, actually.
Mm.
And she is playing Tonya Harding. Do you remember that figure skating scandal from years ago? They've made a movie about that. They showed it in Toronto last week, and it quickly became a front runner for Best Picture at the Oscars. And she's playing Tonya Harding in it. So I think you're going to see a lot of heat for her out of that film anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a 2005 La Croix de ma mère, Chateauneuf de Pape. Drink or keep another while, is it worth much?
2005?
Yeah.
That's going to last, you know. Chateauneuf de Pape has enormous potential. It's 10 years old. I mean, really, it's I don't know that particular wine. I mean, there's so many producers, obviously, in Chateauneuf de Pape. But if it's been properly stored, you should be all right and you can hang on to it. But if you fancy popping the cork on it and drinking it now, work away.
Yeah, but don't be, it's not going to put the kids through college.
No, it's not. Yeah. I've just remembered the name of the grape, actually. Frascati's made from Trebbiano.
Can you ask the wine lady, is it possible to get a red wine here similar to one I got in Spain made in Ronda that had no additives?
She's probably got some kind of a natural wine. Yeah. And in other words, yeah, I mean, that's the big trend now. That's everywhere.
Yeah, loads of wines like that.
Lots and lots of wine. There's so many Green Man Wines in Terranure. You're doing an awful lot of organic and natural wines. So go down there. He might be able to help you.
Yeah. This is technically not a wine question, but I think that wine lady might have an idea where to get Pimm's. I'm having a tennis movie night. I would love to make a jug of it for an indoor barbecue I'm having this weekend, but can't find it anywhere. I live in Cork. Actually, Esther's probably better equipped to answer that question.
I know the answer to this.
Yeah, I mean, try Pimm's. Bradley's in North Main Street or O'Donovan's in Cork. They should be able to help you.
I'd be hard to believe you couldn't find
Pimm's. Yeah, I'm sure you should be able to get Pimm's there. I mean, it's a pretty mainstream. Like, I would imagine most supermarkets should have Pimm's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, particularly the sort of the posh ones, you know?
Yes.
So, because Pimm's is a very popular summer drink, and summer isn't over yet. Well, it's just about, you know. Yeah,
they serve
summer in Ireland, where we have a different quality of rain. Right, let's move on to our first wine of the day.
All right. Now I want to give an unashamed shout out and plug for a great wine fair with a super name called Spit. I love the name. On the 5th of October, it's going to take place. It's over 140 wines. You know, you can buy your tickets are now on sale, price €30 a head. You'll also get a glass and a booklet. You can buy tickets in either Bagot Street Wines, Blackrock Cellar, Green Man Wines, again, 64 Wine in Glass Tool, or Sweeney's in Hearts Corner, or online at www.spit.ie. So one of the first wine I'm featuring tonight, which is also, or today, which is also Italian, and another very famous white wine region from Italy, is Gavi. This is Gavi de Gavi, and it's this wine will be featured at the Spit Festival, and it's one of the wines brought in. It's a group of four importers, and they all, and again, if that person is looking for organic wines, they all do all those, either Venus Tito, Grape Circus, Nomad and Wine Mason, and they do a lot of the organic and biodynamic wines. So if you want to learn more about that, go along to Spit. Anyway, what we have is the 2016 Piccolo, Ernesto, Gavi di Gavi, Rotravoro. Sorry, my Italian pronunciation is terrible. Now, this is about €20 a bottle. And it comes from Gavi, which is in the Piedmonte region in northwest Italy. The grape variety here is Cortese. And the Gavi DOCG was originally granted in 1998, and it's become very, very fashionable. What I love about Gavi is it's got this lovely peachiness. This wine is absolutely no exception. I love Gavi, and it's a white wine that I drink a lot at home as well. You get this wonderful peachy stone fruit character backed by a lovely minerality. This is a small family estate. The family has been making wines for three generations. I just think super wine. This is a bit more premium in price, but you know, a really lovely, rich. You're getting the lovely kind of minerality and the gorgeous stone fruit peach coming through on the nose.
Does Gavi vary much in terms of the sweetness of it?
Well, that one's a dry one. That's bone dry, and you can get the minerality coming through. Not really. It's normally dry. I mean, as I said, the Italian whites tend to be quite dry and quite neutral, and they don't tend to have a lot of sweetness. In fact, some of them tend not to have a lot of anything. But this is different. Like regions like Suave and Gavi would definitely have a lot more character coming through, and the characteristics of the grape, the Cortese grape, would certainly be showing through in this. And do you get the sort of peachy hint at the back?
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely wine. This is widely available. Fallon & Byrne, Blackrock Cellar, Donnybrook Fair, Sheridan's in Galway, the Mitchells & Son in Avoca, Kilmechanic and Dunboyne. You know, it's independent off licences you'll find this wine, and a lovely, good quality Italian white.
So, Esther, what movie would you like to do first?
Let's talk Goodbye Christopher Robin.
Okay, yeah. We're going to do Goodbye Christopher Robin. The hashtag, by the way, is Flirty Movies Journey to the Centre of Me Pants. Christopher Robin after this.
Just written a poem. It's about a boy who tries to look after his mother even though he's only three.
For he is very little.
But it rhymes with lots of things. She goes to town without telling anyone. She goes to town without telling anyone. She goes to town in a golden gown. No one can find out where she's gone.
Never, ever.
King John puts up a notice offering a reward if anyone can find her. How much reward do you think?
It needs to be a lot of money, I suppose. 40 shillings.
40 shillings. It's quite difficult to rhyme with, though, isn't it? Shillings.
Billings.
What about pounds?
Pounds.
Clowns. There are clowns now.
There you go. That's a clip from Goodbye Christopher Robin. That was Donald Gleeson there, obviously. And that actually just struck me. I don't know what Donald Gleeson actually sounds like. Yeah, is he a thick Leitrim accent? That'd be great if he did.
Yeah. When does the last time we've heard him play Irish? It would have been Brooklyn, I suppose, wouldn't it? It would be in Brooklyn.
Right, yeah, okay. But it's almost got to the point where if you hear Donald Gleeson talking in an Irish accent, you think, yeah, he's putting that on.
Yes, it is. It's getting a bit like that. This is very sweet and kind of a little bit forgettable. I know that sounds mean.
Okay.
Because it wears its heart in its sleeve, and it's a very kind of sincere kind of film, and it's pretty as a picture. But I just, I suppose in the more moving scenes, I just felt like I was being a little bit manipulated. And when I feel that,
okay,
when I get a hunch of that at all, I just kind of put a little distance between myself and the film for whatever reason. But everyone's really good in it. So Donald's very good as A.A. Milne, this great writer. What I found very interesting about it is the whole parent-child relationship. That's handled really well, because these are aristocratic people, they're well-off people. And in the period in which they lived, the dumb thing was to hand your child over to the nannies and let the nannies raise them, you know. And then A.A. Milne, he's living in London with his wife Daphne, who's played by Margot Robbie. Again, Australian, killing the English accent here, doing a great job. And they are partying, and she is kind of, she is the good time girl. He's just home from World War One, where he fought in Flanders, and is very traumatised by what happened. And but she's kind of a selfish woman, actually. She's a characterisation you don't often get in a film like this, because one minute she can be the kind of, you know, happy-go-lucky type of woman, but she's a complicated woman, and there's a selfishness and a dark side to her, and it just kind of pops up out of nowhere now and then. So Robbie does a good job of kind of harnessing all that, because it does initially put you out of step with her a little, because you're so used to characters being types, that the fact that she's a little bit more complicated is quite interesting, you know. So he, you know, she wants him to forget that the war ever really happened, because it's an inconvenience for her in terms of her party, and really, so that's the kind of woman you're talking about. And they hand over the kid a lot to the nanny, who's played by the always wonderful Kelly MacDonald, just so good in everything she does, and who is the heart of this film in a great many ways as it emerges. But there, you know, so A. Milne is going through this writer's block, because, you know, when you get having more time flashbacks all the time in your head, it's very hard to sit down and start writing. So he's eking out a living, kind of writing comedy for theatre, and they're having a nice old life, but he's just feeling a little bit unfulfilled. And he decides he wants to get out of London for a while, and spend some time in the countryside, and just really surround himself with nothing but the task of writing a great book, really. Yeah. And he wants to write something, maybe a novel, to connect it to the war, that has some sort of message to it. But that's not the path in which he goes down, because when circumstances force him, and that's, again, he only starts to spend time with the kid when he has to. Like, this is the way people live.
Everyone's, you know, like that.
Yeah. So he starts to hang out with his little boy, who's Christopher, forced to by circumstances, and finds himself being drawn into the woodlands outside his house, with this little boy, and who brings these teddy bears and toys to the woods, and starts creating all these little stories involving little characters like Winnie, Piglet, Eeyore and Tigger, and sure, the rest, as they say, is history.
It's history. Yeah.
So that is, you know, the scenes between Donald's character and the little boy, who is really, really good, played by a youngster by the name of Will Tilston, are very beautifully rendered and are slowly developed, and it's a lovely kind of parent-child relationship blossoming there. And I just found there were kind of awkward gear shifts, and it just was stymied in time at times by the pace as well. It's a good 2 hours. It didn't need to be. I didn't think there was enough substance to it, really, I suppose, to merit the
Could
time.
Could there be more substance to it?
Yeah.
Really, was that all there was to that story anyway?
No, I think it goes into really interesting territory, but doesn't stay there maybe long enough. Like the whole wartime thing, I think the post-traumatic stress is always an interesting subject.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just is. And how it can affect you as a character and form you and all of that. But I really liked the whole... It comes into the second half of the film a lot more, the whole parent, you know, what is parenting, I suppose. And Kelly MacDonald's character, as it emerges, turns out to be
the actual parent
yes, really. And and she's really good. And there's scenes that are quite wrenching towards the end of the film. And sure, there won't be dry eye in the house at the end of it. I found it quite moving as well. But I just didn't really care all that much about the actual center story, which is the creation of these characters and Winnie the Pooh and how it all happened. But the second half of the film is a lot better. It does build a lot, because you find the parents again make bad decisions about exposing the kid, Christopher Robin, to publicity and stuff. And, you know, in a way that really impacts on his later life quite badly. He ends up getting bullied a lot and stuff because he's, you know, lots of jealous children and who say nasty things and stuff like that. And he confronts his dad in one big scene in the film about that. So that's all really interesting territory. Again, I just felt it kind of went down those paths a lot and then kind of came back to cute picture book kind of chocolate box story, movie storytelling. And I would have preferred it to go a little bit darker.
Somebody who'd somebody's already seen the film. I love the way they finish this text. Donald Gleeson is awful in this film. The only performance that's worse is the child, who is terrible too. Now,
that's really Irish.
Now, I think your mother. I think somebody's mother texted in there. You hear Gleeson's Irish brogue in Black Mirror as a bloody android, says John Ingo.
That's right. She's in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You know, Donal's always good, and give him credit, and he's having a stellar career at the moment. But I really want him to go back to 2 years ago when he gave us Frank, Ex Machina, The Revenant, and then in his spare time went off and did an episode of Black Mirror. That was the kind of strange, mad material I want to see him do more of, and he's brilliant at it.
Yeah.
And so versatile, like, so. Yeah.
I suppose, though, it's, you know, as an actor, you can't always be, you can't choose the scripts. You know, only to a certain extent. Someone says The Lobster was shot in Sneem, Dromore Woods, and some scenes were shot in Dublin. Joel's Restaurant on the Naas Road.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah. My God.
And Blanchardstown Shopping Centre, would you believe? Yeah. It's featured as well.
Now, the person looking for Pimm's in Cork, you can get it in Hurley's Super Value in Middleton, or you can get it in Super Value in Ballincollig. They both have it, so a bit of a super value off there. Phil says, should I worry that I have to resist the urge to kill anyone who expresses a liking for Pinot Grigio? It shows a complete lacking of taste buds and a taste for blandness. A work colleague told me that they love wine and that Pinot Grigio was their favourite, and I had to bite my tongue off and leave the room. I'm going for a lie down now, says Phil.
I'm with him.
Yeah.
I'm over Pinot Grigio. I wish the rest of the world were as well.
Like, it's like water. Gleeson Jr. is in danger of being typecast in the role of a fey and twee character lacking in any substance. Can't recall the last memorable role he was in, and he's in danger of becoming the Irish Johnny Depp.
Oh God, that's harsh.
That's a mad comparison
that's
to make.
Harsh.
But
yeah.
He was in one of the Star Wars film, and he was an utterly oily, horrible character.
Yeah, General Hux. Yeah. And all of that kind of Nazi iconography behind him. He was great in that, and he's returning to that at Christmas as well. We'll see him there again.
Speaking of sci-fi, can you ask the movie goddess, has she seen Blade Runner 2045? If so, is it ruining a classic movie, or is it a standalone movie? Paul wants to know. We all want to know that.
We all want to know it. I haven't seen it yet. I'll be seeing it on Monday night. I can't wait.
Whispers are good, though.
The whispers are brilliant. You'll be excited by the choice of director because he made one of your favourite films last year, Denis Villeneuve, who made Arrival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm really, really excited to see what they do with it. And I swear to God, that's not just because Ryan Gosling is in it.
Right.
The early buzz is really good, and that it's actually quite groundbreaking and very different. And not blockbustery at all, quite science fictiony.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Lobster is unwatchable tripe. Pure nonsense. Says Garage in Kerry. Somebody else wants to know, is Sideways the best wine movie?
Yeah.
As opposed to...
Yeah. There aren't
what
many.
Other wine
well,
movie is there?
There was Judgment in Paris.
God, I thought it was like to do with the Nuremberg Trials.
Yeah,
no,
Judgment in Paris, which
there was... A good year with... Which wasn't very good.
Yeah, Russell Crowe, which
terrible.
Wasn't great.
Yeah.
And there was another one I remember seeing. But yeah, Sideways is definitely the best wine film,
Is Prosecco the new pesto?
Yeah. The two easiest wines to sell on the Irish market, Pinot Grigio and Prosecco.
You know there's a yoke you can get now in Argus?
No.
Where it's like a soda stream for wine.
Oh, right.
And you can just buy whatever wine.
Tasteful.
And it fizzes it up for you.
Sounds like, yeah.
Sounds classy.
Sounds
really
classy. Classy.
Imagine
wine.
Like you go, oh, come round for some bubbles. And then you
I'll
put
make
it in,
them
the
myself.
In the machine. John says, I'm heading to Napa next week. Can the wine queen recommend a wine tour? We're only there for a day. God, that's a long journey for
There's
a day,
There's lots
John.
Of them. In fact, the California Wine Fair was on yesterday in Dublin, and it was a huge success from what I heard. And look, there's so many wineries in Napa. You just turn up and you'll be fine. You know, like anything, I'm not sure what part of it you're going to or whatever. So just go to the local tourist office and they'll give you some recommendations. It would be my advice.
Somebody actually has sent in a Pim's poem. While enjoying my cup a la Pim, I encountered a crack in the rim. So averting my lips, I took circumspect sips. For such pleasures, we risk life and limb. We'll take a break, another movie, another wine after this. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We're halfway through Movies and Booze. Our hashtag, by the way, is Flirty Movies. For instance, Diddle Her on the Roof. John says, just referring back to a previous question we got in, tell that person in relation to Napa to do the San Francisco Shuttle Tours day trip. Good tour, and you get the ferry back into the city that evening. So that might answer your question for you. Marzo says, And this is an astonishing question. I'm looking for Cinzano Bianco. Any help there? And Martini Bianco is not the same, says Marzo. Indeed, it's not. So other than Marzo inventing a time machine and going back to the 1970s.
And he's got to wear aviator sunglasses
he
as
does,
well.
He does, yeah. And be a pilot and smoke Rothman cigarettes yes. with his Cinzano Bianco.
Yeah.
That's the best we can do. Gleason wasn't great in Star Wars. He wore a cool full-length black leather Mac, and the Mac had more stage presence. Ooh, meow.
Mean? I thought he was good in it, actually.
I thought he was good in it. Yeah. Can you ask, because it was funny, I remember reading that, that there was like online people going, oh, who is this new actor? As if he'd never done anything before. Only because, you know, it's like, for a certain demographic, yeah. Star Wars is all that counts. Can you ask your wine lady where I could get Californian red wines, Camus or Joseph Phelps?
Phelps is definitely available here. And I tell you, there's a girl called Justine McGovern and she runs the California Wine Institute in Ireland. Just Google California Wine Institute and her contact details will be there. And if you email Justine, she'll be able to tell you a list of stockists.
Someone says, I'm more looking forward to the soundtrack for the new Blade Runner film than the film itself. It sounds amazing. Oh, I don't know anything about
this.
I haven't heard anything about that.
I'm looking forward to Monday night more now.
And somebody else, I saw Lobster and Dogtooth. I reckon this director is a suitable candidate for treatment. Both pretentious and weird rubbish. Okay, fair enough. Right, let's move on to our second wine of the day, Jean.
All right, we're going to Southern Rhone right now. I work a lot in the wine trade, and I've said this before on the show. Three words that are guaranteed to set every red-blooded Irish male's heart aflame, Chateau Neuf de Pape. They love it. They love it. They love it. So this wine also comes from the Southern Rhone. And basically, Southern Rhone wines are a blended wine and they're made from predominantly Grenache, which is a red grape, mixed with Syrah, Sanceau and Mourvèdre. Now, Gigondas is a little small region next door to Chateau Neuf de Pape and it's primarily a red wine region. And the wine there is made from about 80% Grenache with a minimum 15% Syrah and a little bit of Mourvèdre. The greatest Gigondas can keep for 10 or more years. So that person who was on earlier on looking about the Chateau Neuf de Pape, the 2005, that'll still be rocking for another 5 years at least. Gigondas was used to be part of Chateau Neuf de Pape, but was awarded its own appellation in 1971. Mainly because people thought the wines were a little bit more superior to Chateau Neuf de Pape. And quite frankly, I do too. There are two small sub-regions. One is Gigondas and the other is Vacara. And I've always found the wines from both those areas, which are sort of were once originally part of Chateau Neuf de Pape, to be just that little bit superior. Now, this one is called the 2016 Push Mornay Gigondas. It's on sale in Lidl at the moment. They have their French wine sale, which started last Monday and is running while stocks last. This is reduced from $14.99 down to $11.99. I actually really like this. I think the Grenache is showing through. And the thing about Grenache is that you get all these summer fruit flavors. It's more strawberry, raspberry, red cherry. It's the lighter, it's not black fruit, it's more red fruit flavors coming through. That's what Grenache will give you. It's that summer fruit flavor. It's a slightly lighter style. It's wood-aged. It's got a hint of spice and a lovely bit of balanced tannin. And for $11.99, now I'm telling you, you can't go wrong with that at that price.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. For that kind of money. Actually, that's very nice.
And just one final thing. Rhone Wine Week is coming up and it's going on from the 4th to the 11th of November. Details are on my website, jeansmullen.com, which is the wine diary. There's lots of really interesting. So anybody who's interested in learning more about the Rhone wine region, there's a whole week dedicated to wines from the area. So look, they've got a website, Rhone Wine Week as well. So look it up and, you know, you'll learn more about what is a fantastic French wine region.
Granny wants to know, can you ask a wine lady if Cooper Select Aaron Chardonnay is available anywhere in the West?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah,
the honest answer.
That's
sorry.
A big area.
Unfortunately, I don't have a computer in front of me. Yeah. I could Google it for you.
This is another one. There's a question that falls between your beer and wine a bit. I was recently served a Belgian drink called Gueuze, G-U-E-U-Z-E, which I'm told is a beer, but for me it tasted far more like a sparkling wine type drink.
Yeah, there are some of the Belgian beers now. This is more the beer man's territory.
Yeah.
But yes, there are some Belgian beers that, you know, would not be dissimilar to a wine in terms of their flavor profile.
Yeah.
And they're made deliberately. Yeah, an alcohol profile as well. But that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Visit the Francis Ford Coppola winery. Great wine tasting, great tour and movie memorabilia. That's a good idea. Can you ask Jean why I always get headaches after drinking New World red wine, Chilean, Aussie, etc. Ta very much, says Mike and Roscommon.
Yeah, we get this a lot. People,
I think
you
Mike
know,
just drinks too much. I think that's basically it. You got a problem.
Mike, I think it's called hangover.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, full-blooded Irish man and cannot stand shot enough to pop. Give me a good Tempranillo any day, says the texter. I saw the new Kingsman movie yesterday and it was bloody brilliant. Manners maketh the man. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's completely Marmite. People are loving or hating it. It's getting like 1-star and 4-star reviews all over the place, which
really?
Is kind of gas. Yeah.
I suppose you probably kind of like that kind of thing, or you don't, I suppose. The hashtag is flirty movies, dry riding Miss Daisy. Can you ask the white lady, has she ever tasted a wine she didn't like? I've tried loads. And to be honest, they're all delicious.
Yeah, I have.
Ah, you must have.
I have. But like, I mean, I work in the wine trade. I sell wine for a living. So if I don't like it, I say nothing. I just go, right, next.
It's best. Yeah. That's the best thing to say. Right. Okay. We'll move on to our second movie of the day. It is Home Again. In this clip, Alice is letting the three men stay in her guest house. A recently separated husband, Austin, arrives hoping to salvage their marriage.
You know, when you left, I finally felt like I wasn't letting anyone down anymore. And that was good for a minute. But then I realized that the best part of my life had just moved away across the country. And there I was, alone in our old place. There's no more laughter. No more monkeys jumping on the bed. And I miss our family. So I bought a ticket to LA and I left within the hour because I wanted to say this to your face. Your beautiful face. Let's fix this. Let's not give up.
That's beautiful.
Stop crying, Sean.
Okay, yeah.
You're just trying to cover that with sarcasm.
I am trying. I am trying to cover my true feelings with sarcasm. Can Michael Sheen not do accents?
No.
He Such can a do talented nice, actor, but he can't
he
do
can
accents.
He can do nice flaky, though, and that's what I like about him. Yeah, and sure, he's a typical fella. Let's pour old Reese Witherspoon down. The marriage breaks up. She heads back to Los Angeles, where she's from.
Now, the marriage breaks up. Why? Because he's off with the young one.
No, he doesn't do anything overtly nasty, but they're going through a bad time. And
okay.
She says she's done. Leaves her go. And sure, the minute he hears there's three hot young fellas in the house in Los Angeles after moving in with her, he's buying a ticket as quickly as you can say, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
So, and then he turns up at the house like a crying puppy, asking for her back, which only makes her life more complicated because she has been sleeping with one of these three young guys. They're nice fellas, actually. They're nice characters. They're three aspiring filmmakers who pop up in Los Angeles. Her dad is a famous filmmaker, her character's dad at least, and they kind of love his work. And her mother is played by Candice Bergen, who says, you could do with a bit of cash. These are three nice fellas. They'll fix the cupboards. Yeah, I'm sure she didn't know what else they were going to fix for her, but that emerges later. And she says, let them move into the guest house because this is, of course, a rom-com. So the houses are all magnificent and beautifully furnished and
of
there's
course.
Never anything thrown on the floor.
Yeah.
So in the three of them move and kind of, the idea, I think, is that they're supposed to kind of change her life a little and make her kind of worry less about what she's left behind and her new future and all that. But it was just, whatever.
Couldn't be arsed to draw a message from this movie.
Oh,
that's one for the movie.
No,
that's one for the poster.
Don't pay it that respect. God, no. So it feels like, you know, it feels like if you put a copy of Good Housekeeping magazine up with the big screen and kind of put three hot young fellas into it, this is kind of what you might end up getting. And that's a bit disappointing because it's directed by Hallie Myers Shire, who, as her surnames might suggest, is the daughter of two of the best rom-com screenplay writers in the last 50 years. Them being Charles Shire, who wrote the script, got an Oscar nomination for Private Benjamin, And of course, Nancy Myers, who wrote The Parent Trap, which is a particular favourite of mine. I love that film. And a couple of other movies like Something's Gotta Give and It's Complicated. So she's very good at doing not entirely surprising, very mainstream, but enjoyable rom-coms with little dilemmas at the heart of them. So that's what the daughter's trying to channel here, I think. But God, it was just... there's just nothing real about it. Like, Reese Witherspoon does her best, but she's too good an actress to be in this kind of material. And you know what? I don't know why she's doing it, because she's a very successful career now as a producer.
Yes.
And she, you know, she, I think, was a producer on Big Little Lies, if I'm correct there, and is, after getting our own Sharon Horgan on board, having seen Catastrophe, to write a script for her next film. And they're working together for the past year.
Sharon Horgan is so hot right now.
She's so hot right now. Reese Witherspoon wants to work with her. Everyone wants to work with her. And so, yeah, just pick better projects than this. It's just really, like... it's not really a film at all. It's not that it's bad. It's not that it's awful. It's just not even really a movie. I just felt like I could have gone out to the bathroom at any stage and come back in and have missed nothing. That I was just sitting through kind of a long episode of a soap opera, you know?
Well, could it be that, I don't know, if she wants to, say, do something with Sharon Horgan, if she wants to do something a bit more creative and edgy, the studio says yes, but we want you to do an old-fashioned Reese Witherspoon type rom-com first.
One for them and one for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Well, possibly. And I'm sure this will make money. They're not expensive to make, but just the writing needs to be bigger, better than this, you know, because the cast are all fine. There's nothing wrong with any of the cast, per se. And the casting of Michael Sheen is nice casting, you know, and the three lads are kind of almost funny how lovely they are and how, you know.
When you say lovely, like, they all go around with their shirts off and
they all go around with their shirts off and fix her drawers and stuff.
Like, yeah, it's, and that's all very symbolic. Euphemistic.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be, but it's not.
Is this kind of a bit sort of offensive to women? It's from what you've told me of the premise, it just sounded like all she needed was like a good scene to, and then
no,
everything's fine.
I don't
fine.
Think it's offensive to women. I think it's offensive to people who love movies, really. It's just, it's poorly scripted. If it was a colour, it should be beige, you know, and that's the colour on the walls and the luxury house in the background, and that's supposed to pass the time as much as the acting or the drama or the anything else. And it's just not strong enough. It's not, you know, it's not worth getting a babysitter and paying your cinema tickets and taking your one night out to go and see stuff this, you know, middle of the road and
expelling vital oxygen on. Really.
Yeah, no, it's grand.
Barry wants to know where you might be able to get Gran Lomo Malbec. It was in Dunn's about 6 months ago. For a while, I haven't found it anywhere since.
Yeah, it was in Dunn's. It's probably exclusive to Dunn's. And it'll probably come back again. You know, sometimes the supermarkets have wines that are just on sale for a while and then they do reappear again. But I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, there's lots of
different sorts of Malbec out there. Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Claire's here with us now to tell us about some good things to do this weekend.
Hello.
Hello.
So in Dublin, Robert Harris will be appearing at the Dublin Festival of History at the Printworks in Dublin Castle at 8:30 tonight. The event is free. There's no booking required, but it is on a first-come, first-served basis, and the doors open 20 minutes prior to the event. In Galway this weekend, the Architecture at the Edge Festival is on throughout Galway and Mayo, running until Sunday. This is a festival designed to help you understand the many ways architecture has impacted our lives, and you're going to get guided tours, talks, workshops, exhibitions, you name it. So go to architectureattheedge.com for all the listings for that. And just a reminder for tomorrow, Up the Hill Walk, suitable for all fitness levels, based around Carlingford at 10 a.m. tomorrow to raise funds for the Jack and Jill Foundation. If you search Up the Hill for Jack and Jill Carlingford on Facebook, you'll get all the details, and you can get sponsorship cards ahead of time or just make a donation on the day.
Good stuff. Flirty Movies is continuing apace on the Twitter machine if you'd like to check that out. Esther and Jean, thank you both very much. Always a pleasure. Our production team today, Claire Collins, Michael Quilligan and Niamh Hassel. We'll talk to you on Monday at 2 o'clock. Ivan's up next. Have a nice weekend.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworksIreland.ie/movetogas.